The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Hey, welcome back to The Bright Side and issue number 152. And yeah, John, see this? We're still outside the store, buddy.
I see.
Been a busy week. What's going on here. I've got big plans for us. I mean, I have plans for us. I got ideas because, you know, as I was telling you before, I'm busy at work. I work by myself. I come up with ideas for the show. And then by the time I get home, I'm too tired to institute said ideas. Right. So here we are out on the sidewalk. How are things going? Nice and sunny down here today.
It's beautiful weather.
Yeah. Nice in Texas.
Can't complain about that.
Yeah. All right. You got AC going on in there?
I do.
All right. Let's get into the store because we got a busy night, and I got to get on the ice. So let's. You ready to just get into the store and get this show on the road?
I'm ready.
All right. Let's do it. Oh, lovely air conditioning. You hear the crowd in the background.
All this
the
people,
is so nice. So great, John. You have quite the atmosphere going here.
I try.
Yeah, you try. You try. How have things been?
Could be better.
Uh-oh.
Yeah,
could
be
I better. Was thinking of this. Listening back to our show the other day, I was like, here's one of my ideas. We got to come up with a sounder, like go behind the curtain at the store. Because we do that, we talk about this stuff all the time, and it is. I do think it's interesting for the listeners. If you've been listening to the show this long, you know we talk a lot about what you go through as a store owner and what it's like.
Right.
I think it's a valuable service for anybody because it helps whether they go into your store or not. They know what the owners are going through, and we've gone through some crappy stuff over the last 3 years. I do believe this is our actual anniversary issue right now. I think so. I'm pretty sure our three-year anniversary is this week. Unfortunately, I don't have anything special planned for you. I did have something, but wasn't able to put it together. Maybe next week.
Okay.
Something special for you, just for you, John.
Just for me? Fantastic.
Just for you.
I can't wait. I love stuff.
I know. How are those drinking glasses?
Oh, yeah, those are great.
You never got that.
I can just use them and never feel full or drunk or anything.
Oh, sorry about that.
It's all right.
So what's going on this week? Not too good?
Last week I talked about how I was super lucky.
Here
to
we
have
go.
Zero damages from Random House on my Marvel products last week. Amid all the other,
wood, huh?
Yeah, all the other retailers that were having issues. This week, I think I received the shipment that tops every bad shipment that everybody has shown pictures of so far.
Oh.
I literally counted 95% of my shipment damaged.
Oh.
95%. I have 10 books or so that went into subscriber boxes and onto the wall. Everything else is damaged. No response on whether I'm getting replacements or credits or even acknowledge the emails that I've sent. So I'm, less than happy, to put it mildly.
And that's what you just did today, right? Or did you get those yesterday?
Well, they came in yesterday.
Okay.
They came in yesterday. Zero issues with Lunar as usual. Handful of books from Diamond. Actually, trade paperbacks were damaged, so that really doesn't even affect anything. Marvel was just unbelievable. Like, I've never had a shipment like that ever. I don't know. I don't know what they need to do to get this under control, but they are clearly aware of the issue. It's just how quickly they're going to do something to make it better.
So
at this point, I can't even switch back to Diamond
right away.
I'm committed to like two or three more weeks worth of orders already.
Right.
With them. So the earliest I could even switch back would be probably November. And, you know, that's at a significant cost and reduction in profitability if I was to switch back to Diamond. But, you know, at the end of the day, a lesser I mean, I can't sell nothing. So, you know, I mean,
if you could, you could make a killing. I could, too, because I've got a lot of nothing.
I mean, they could give me a 90% discount, but if I couldn't sell any of the books, then,
right,
it, you know, what good would that do me? So, yeah, I don't know. I'm super frustrated. And, you know, among others, I'm not the only one experiencing this, obviously. It's 2 weeks worth of, you know, 2 weeks in now, and it's been just a complete disaster, honestly.
Right. So last week, you got lucky. That was
I got lucky. And I knew that I would not be lucky this week.
Yeah,
honestly.
Or your luck would run out.
Right.
My question is, like, what's the... what, yeah, I know.
I didn't expect 95%.
So what are they doing wrong? Like, now that you've seen firsthand how they're coming in damaged, why are they getting damaged this way? Are they just tossing these boxes around? Or is it bad boxing?
Okay, so picture the comic book, right?
Okay, I can do
picture
that.
Picture a box that is exactly the size needed to hold that comic book.
Oh.
With nothing else inside of it.
Oh.
And then picture just shipping that box loose, not inside another box.
Right.
Or, you know, there is literally no protection packaged in these boxes. Random House sends me graphic novels every week that are shipped in bubble wrap and, like, you know, they ship their other stuff, but, like, these boxes are just literally an outer shell. Like, it's just a comic.
It's like
wrapped,
a long box with or a short wrapped, box.
Yeah, but and not even as strong of a box. Like, these aren't even, like, you know, really heavy duty, thick corrugated boxes. They're pretty flimsy boxes, and they're just being manhandled by UPS, and they're coming in. Every dinged corner, every single thing that happens on that box happens to the book inside because there's nothing to cushion that book. Yeah, to cushion that book from anything. So the frustrating part of it is, not to go too deep on this because I know we have a little bit of a time limit tonight, but this is we've known about this for about 6 months. Mm-hmm. You know, Marvel made this transition 6 months ago to Random House, and they have had 6 months to refine the process of shipping comics to retailers. There was Zoom calls, there were retailer summits, there was feedback solicited on, you know, what to do. I even know of a retailer that's close to their warehouse that invited them into their, so they went into his store and he showed them how Lunar ships, how Diamond ships, what works, what doesn't work. I mean, so much feedback went into all this. And at the end of the day, this was the decision that was made. And, you know, going back to the initial emails from the announcements of when this was going to happen, and Random House talking about how we understand the collectible nature of comics, and we know that we're going to do every, you know what I mean?
Do you?
All this lip service. And again, from what I'm hearing based on last week, is like they're denying a lot of these claims, saying that bent corners and, you know, little spine ticks or whatever are not significant enough damage to make a book unsellable. Well, they might not make a Harry Potter novel unsellable, but they make a comic book unsellable.
Right.
Especially when you acknowledge the collectible nature of comics.
I know.
You know? So it's just, like I said, it's been an absolute unmitigated failure, like and on a massive scale, because like there's retailers all over the country that are not getting sellable books for 2 weeks in a row, and yeah, I don't know what they're gonna do. Super frustrating. I don't expect any sweeping changes to happen in a week or two, because even if they are able to revamp their packaging and all of this stuff, production takes time. Like, how do you get 50,000 boxes redesigned and
implemented
in your hands? Yeah, right. Implemented in a week or two. So, yeah, it's actually a really big problem. So, when you go into your stores this week and you find a significantly lesser amount of Marvel books available, your store, you talk to your store owner, because there's probably some reasons why. I had to actually put it in my email that I sent out this week, telling people that, hey, you know, you don't have any of your books, and I'm now, not even sure if I can get them for you.
Do you even offer them? Like, do you, like, say people don't want to collect it, they just want to read the damn thing.
Well, I won't offer these yet, because I don't know what their process is. Like, if they replace them and they want them back, or, you know, I don't know.
Well, that
what
you don't want to enable
process is going to be.
All right, I was able to sell around it, like we call that in the car business. Can you sell around this little ding here? Well, yeah, it's a 2-year-old car, not a brand new book with a little ding in it. You don't want to enable them. You know what I mean? Like, you want to be able to ship them all back.
If I get to the point where my, you know, I don't get credit for these books, and like the massive fit that I will throw doesn't get me what I want, and you know me.
I do know you. I was just thinking, I'm like, it's a shame we live so far apart.
But if that's the case, then I will probably try to sell these at least at cost to try to break even and offer them. And, you know, there's a few. I got to the point where I was at the end of that shipment and I stopped being as critical. And if the stack of books was damaged on the top and damaged on the bottom, I just damaged out the whole damn stack. Like, so I could probably go through there and pull 10 or 15% of those books back out and have them be reasonably sellable. But none of them are what I would consider collector grade. And,
you know,
the comic book market these days is super collector driven. Like, nobody's reading comics. Everybody's collecting comics. So,
No,
very
really
frustrating.
Yeah, very frustrating. The physical part of it is very frustrating. It's like, I've talked to you in the past about just going to Best Buy, and I try to pick up a disc, and they got that dumbass sticker on the cup back, especially during COVID, where you had to order it, and then they put their stupid ass sticker, like, sold and paid for and written on the card. I'm like, this is literally a collector's item, because it was the collector's edition.
Right.
And they put stickers all over the damn thing. You can't put, you know, Goo Gone or whatever on it.
Right.
And it's like, people forget that stuff, that people are buying these things for a reason. And
well, and the other issue too is like the consumer confidence in, like, my store, for instance.
Right.
Like, I am at the point now where I am turning people away every day for merchandise that they're looking for that I can't get my hands on, whether it's a volume of manga or whether it's a trade paperback. I'm constantly telling people, no, I can't get that. And, like, how many times can you tell somebody, no, I can't get that, before they just go somewhere else to try to get it? And now when it's my comics and I have to tell these people, I don't even know if I can get you replacements for them, because I haven't heard back. I don't know. I can't tell. Tomorrow, I can't tell you anything when you come in and ask for your books. And, you know, delayed shipments are one thing, you know, and it might screw up my Wednesday, but at least I know by Thursday or Friday, I'm going to have those books and people are going to come in and buy them. Like, these damaged books or unreplaceable books, like, if you all just miss your whole week's worth of Marvel shipments, again, at what point are you going to go to Bedrock? Or, you know, when are you going to go somewhere else and you're going to buy these books? And it's not my fault, but we're the face to the customer, right? Like, at the end of the day, they're not mad at Random House when they can't get their stuff, you know?
Yeah.
They're not mad at the global paper shortage when they can't get their My Hero Academia volume that they want or whatever.
Right.
They're upset because I don't have it on the shelf, and the perception is that I just didn't anticipate the need to have that. So it's really getting to be a frustrating situation. So, enough about that. This is the bright side. So,
yes, this is the bright side, where we always try to, you know, I like to cheer you up.
He was road wet and put away hard. Well, that'll
and
do
why
it.
Was he road wet and put away hard?
She fell onto Dick.
Ah, right. There we go. That's so funny.
Yeah.
All right. And what might as well get the last one in.
Oh, my.
There you go.
We got
the three,
trifecta.
So.
We got a bunch of others, but. Yeah. All right. I told you before we started recording, my week's going much to the same.
Yeah.
It's just not easy for us, John. You know,
it's not.
We're in the twilight of our life here, and it should be getting easier for us.
Well, and it's hard to be the little guy trying to make a living, right?
And we both are, everything,
but where everything is so just driven by the giants that are taking over the world, you know?
Yep. So. Yeah, it's crazy. So, all right, you ready to get to some, mailbag. Are you ready to get to some mailbag?
Sure.
All right, let's get to it. Let's see, what do we got here this week? Oh, first up, let's see. Oh, so at Mike Myers Brunch, he, in case you were wondering where Omactivate came from, Omac is a Jack Kirby creation.
Yes.
Okay. You knew that?
One Man Army Corps.
There you go. Yes. Yeah. One Man Army. Jack Kirby's One Man Army Corps. So that's where he Omactivate came from.
I see.
All right. So then he actually, when he sent this, I happened to notice he changed his name, his Twitter handle. It's still at Mike Myers Brunch. But he changed it to Omactivaccinated. I think he's just trying to screw with us.
trying to get you to say that.
Talk about a tongue twister Tuesday.
Omactivaccinated. Nice.
Omactivaccinated. A-C-C-I-N-A-T-E-D.
Omactivaccinated.
Yep. Omactivaccinated. Say that just
nice.
Once fast. Right. Like three times fast. That's insane. So, yeah, it was pretty cool. He sent that image of it, too. So, the one-man Army Corps, and he kind of looks like Superman. Same colors.
A little, yeah.
And, John, I don't know if we picked up this listener, but this listener here, he's starting to comment to us. And, oh, boy, our listenership's going to go through the roof. And this is none other than Theo at the One Alpha on Twitter, and he is one of my bigger supporters over from home theater. And every show he comments, every YouTube he comments, and he always puts out the best comments because you know that's how all this stuff. And he understands that stuff, and he's always commenting. He followed us this week. Our Brightside Chat Twitter handle. He followed us there, and then he commented, "I enjoyed this show."
I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, "Why are you so surprised, Theo?"
Yeah.
No, but
yeah. I wasn't expecting to like it, but I really actually did. It was kind of like Venom.
No, it wasn't.
Well, the first one.
Oh, yes, the first one. And then this is this comment here comes from Martin. Our boss here at the Nerdy Legion. Nerdy Legion.
Yeah, talk to him about getting a raise.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, can we? Yeah, he'll double it.
Yeah.
He said, couple of things. I live in a cave, so I didn't know about the post-credit scene in Venom. Skipped that part of the pod, so I still don't know. And he said, also, love that What If piece. Now I have to watch it. So when I talked about, I knew he would like that when I talked about the whole What If and the Watcher being God and everything.
Right.
And also Ryan Wordsmith at New X Guy, he comments with, hey guys, I just dropped your YouTube channel link to a few friends and they were able to sub, but they said it wouldn't let them set notifications because it is set for kids. I didn't run into any problems when I tried to do it myself, so I don't know what is going on there, but I thought I'd let you know just in case you want to check your channel settings. Anyway, still listening and loving the show, but I've been preaching about the show forever, but these guys only watch/listen to YouTube. So now that you are there, I'm trying to get them on board. Keep up the awesome work. And I said, I'll double check my settings this weekend. I still haven't had a chance to check that. But I do remember that when I set up our YouTube page, for some reason, because I thought that had something to do with ratings, and I wanted it to be able to be for kids and stuff. And I do remember setting it up for kids, and I think there is that might have something to do with it. Like, you're not allowed to, I don't know, whatever it is. But I'll look and change that, because I don't set the individual shows for kids anymore because that hampers some things.
Right.
So, and speaking of which, surprised we didn't lead with this, John. Last week.
Oh, we're smut peddlers?
Yeah, we're porn peddlers, baby.
I know.
What the hell happened there? It's like, and we were saying last week, we've only been, we only get devalued or demonetized for that one, the FOC song.
Right.
And then last Wednesday morning, our YouTube, it was out for like 15 minutes. And I got an email from YouTube that we didn't get a strike against us, but they took down our thumbnail because I used the thumbnail from Gun Honey because that was the title of the show. But I used the one that was in the, not the FOC. What was it?
The Adam Hughes cover.
Yeah, it was the Adam Hughes cover. It was the nice one.
Right.
Well, that one got us in trouble. So you're not allowed to have that. I apologized
but they didn't take a comic book cover.
It's a comic book cover, but I had mentioned. But what's funny is that cover is in the show,
right?
But the show didn't get taken down. Just the thumbnail got taken down. So when I came home, I put up the other Gun Honey cover, and that one has been fine. But you just can't have that thumbnail. So we got a little slap on the wrist last week from YouTube because apparently,
Censorship.
Yep. Oh, well. Hey, I mean, we try to be, I mean, we have our innuendos. We have our little,
Oh, my.
On the show. It is a couple of guys, but we like to try and keep it clean in case you have kids in the car or something.
Yeah, my wife did tell me last week that we were starting to get out of control.
Yeah, we are, and we are, and we, but we still aren't swearing or anything like that. I mean,
no. Well, I can rectify that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Now we're off YouTube.
I have to keep myself in check.
Yeah. So. But anyways, all right. On to the last one. We have a couple of questions from Nick from last week, and we have, this question. Streaming. What streaming services do you use? Rank the streaming services you use. Top three on each service. I'm curious what Apple TV offerings you'd recommend, especially after commenting about how you both love their content on a new episode. Which service do you not use but are debating on getting? Mine would be Coda, but there isn't much content on the service, but I'm a huge fan of music documentaries and concerts and Showtime for original series and their documentaries. So do you want to go first?
I mean, as far as which ones I have, almost all of them.
I think we have all of them. I don't have the major ones.
Yeah, I don't have the music ones, and I don't have Showtime specifically, but I mean, I have, obviously Hulu, Netflix, Apple TV, Prime, Paramount Plus, HBO Max. I mean, I've got all the major ones. As much as I want to say the top is Apple TV, it's probably Netflix, right? Like, at the end of the day, Netflix has the most content and the widest variety of content.
So let me ask you this.
My favorite shows right now are all on Apple TV.
Right.
So
Let me ask you, because there's a couple of ways to come at this, because, like, what's your favorite? What do you think is the best? But it's like, so there's two ways to put it. It's like, what's your favorite? And like you said, it'd probably be Apple TV, because that's the one that seems to have the most quality.
Right.
Right? The best, it has the best quality. Like, Netflix has a crap load, but most of it, you probably watch 10% of it because there's something for everybody there, right? But Apple TV is like, I want to see pretty much anything that they put out, you want to try and get to see. But it's like we haven't seen, there's quite a few I haven't seen yet. But, like, I haven't seen For All Mankind yet, and that's awesome. But that's one I want to watch in the theater. So I want – Joe saw that one. I haven't finished C yet. I'm waiting. I'm that's one I want to do in the mornings when I'm leaving later, because that's a fantastic show. But the production quality on Apple TV is pretty much the most consistent.
I think it's
great.
Yeah, it's
right.
the highest end, probably.
Right. But then there's the question, like, the old, if you were stranded on an island, which one would you want?
Right. It's probably
Netflix. Because, I mean, you can only watch, like, the morning show so many times on Apple TV before you
The thing with Apple TV is you can, like, I think I've consumed all of it. Like, except for, like, Dickinson, which I didn't watch. But the thing is, they have all original programming. There's no catalog of older stuff.
Right.
You can't binge Friends or anything like that. And at the end of the day, like, they're starting to do more and more productions. But, like, after that initial launch of, like, three shows that they had or whatever,
right.
I went, like,
show,
5 months without watching Apple TV because there just wasn't anything. So
but that's
you could
why
find yourself where you've consumed all of it quickly,
right.
And then you're out of stuff. Whereas Netflix, even if they never put another thing on it, you could never watch it all. Like, there's so much stuff there, you know?
Right.
So I think, like you said, on a desert island or what have you, it's got to be Netflix.
It's either Netflix or Disney Plus. Because if I was on a deserted island, I'd want to have my Star Wars, my Marvel.
But that's the thing. But even with Disney Plus, all you're really getting is Star Wars and Marvel. And then how many times over and over and over again would you watch just those same movies and shows? So, again, if I had to tell you where my favorite things were, they'd probably be Disney Plus and Apple TV. But if I had to pick one forever and only one, it would have to be Netflix.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as my favorite on each, I mean, there's too many to list all of the networks, but I mean, but just starting with Apple TV, hands down, Ted Lasso, I think, is my favorite show overall. But then For All Mankind is just phenomenal. And I'll throw in a movie, even though, again, it's not something I'd watch over and over and over again. But I thought Coda was like my favorite movie of the year.
One
of my favorite
movies
of the year.
That,
yeah, I really liked it a lot. Disney Plus, I mean, Star Wars, Marvel, right? Everything. Pick your favorite Star Wars movie and it's there.
Yeah.
Netflix, currently Cobra Kai. Like, I'm not saying anything that people don't already know about. I think he's probably trying to find things that he hasn't heard of yet. But
I know.
But my favorite things are the things everybody knows, like Stranger Things or, you know, and that's probably not even one of my favorites. But
I like,
you know, definitely Cobra Kai.
Mindhunter. If he hasn't seen
that's
that,
good,
I
but
think he's seen
that
though. I think
that's
I heard
not coming
him talk
back,
about
unfortunately.
That. No, but that's a good two seasons.
It was
right
really
there.
Good. Yeah.
That one's really good. There's a lot of great. There was one, was that on Netflix? I don't think it was. I'll have to find out from Jen. Did you see the show that was about a serial killer or something, or somebody killed somebody, but you watch the show in whatever order you want, but you had to save
Yes,
one.
We talked about it.
Yeah,
we talked about that show. I don't
wasn't
remember
what
it
Netflix,
was. Wasn't
on Netflix, though, was it?
I think it was, actually, Netflix.
Was it? That one was really cool. That was fun to jump around.
Yeah,
and
you
could
watch
any order and see if it swayed how you thought.
Except for the finale. Yeah,
right.
Except for the finale you had to watch.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Yeah, God, I don't remember what that was either. Yeah. But we talked about it a few months ago when it was on. Yeah, I went down like the true crime rabbit hole on Netflix for a while.
That's
and we
Jen's rabbit
of,
hole. That's she
a
loves
bunch of that,
that
stuff.
Stuff.
Well, Lydia's too.
If I end up dead someday.
Yeah, you'll know why.
Well, I mean,
she'll get away
I will
with
end
it
up dead someday,
well,
but
she'll get away with it because she watched all those shows.
Right. There was one I walked in the room recently and Meg and Jen were watching it. And I was like, the guy right away, I go, the husband did it. And they're like, well, you're just saying that because it's always the husband. I go, no, the husband's the one. He was away in Connecticut at the time of the murder. I go, he hired somebody to do it. And they're like, how do you know?
I saw that too.
Yeah. And I was like, because he's the one, he called the house and then called the neighbor and told him to go check. Why would you call
that.
The neighbor
yeah.
in the middle of the day to go check and see if she's there when she's supposed to be at work? You know what I mean?
I don't
That's
remember what
such
that
a,
was either.
Yeah.
But we watched, Lydia and I watched
super
that
obvious. Super yeah. obvious. The guy got, ended up getting the death penalty, didn't he?
Yeah, he got caught. Yeah. They,
oh,
they
I know. He got
out,
caught.
He
but
got
I think
caught.
I think they gave him the death penalty.
Maybe. I'm not sure on that. But
yeah, we go down those. But yeah, I don't do, as far as like Showtime goes, Jen and I do Showtime when like Ray Donovan comes back on.
Yeah.
Or We were actually going to catch up on, Dexter start back up?
Dexter
we were
going to
do that one, but we haven't yet.
I had it for a while because we watched Shameless, but the last two seasons I've actually just waited for, like, Shameless season 11 just dropped on Netflix this week, so I'll be able to see it there, and Dexter will show up there too, so that's why I don't watch enough Showtime. Because we do that with other services too. I'll turn on Stars, and you know, so my wife can watch Outlander, and then we turn it off when it's done. And we were going to do that with Showtime, but you know, I figured it'll just drop on Netflix anyways, and we'll watch it there. So,
but that's what getting back Apple TV. That's why I consider it a almost like a network now, like ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox, and Apple TV. Because the way they put out their content is very similar to a network. Like, they'll, okay, here's a show. It's going to run for a certain amount of time. But they don't have the overwhelming amount of content that, say, Netflix or Disney Plus has. They run more like a network.
It is, right. It's weekly. My shows drop on Friday nights. I watch Apple TV on Friday nights. And it was just like, you know, you used to watch TGIF or whatever.
Back in
the 90s. You know, it's just, it is a specific day, and it is kind of more like a network.
Yeah,
because it's more mostly shows, mostly just hour-long scripted shows.
But so. I do like Paramount Plus, which is the new. That used to be CBS.
Well, yeah, because I get Star Trek there, and
they're actually running in Atmos and 4K now. Right. So which is a nice upgrade for a CBS.
Well, I noticed it on CBS. Quiet Place too. I don't know if there's. I haven't seen anything else on there.
There's a bunch with Quiet Place and Quiet Place 2 were the first two to drop with the Atmos. You were the one that told me.
Well, right, because I noticed that when I watched
it. But there's a bunch now.
I haven't watched anything else there that had it. But I don't watch a lot of movies. Like, really, I just watch.
Right.
I watch Blue Bloods and Star Trek. But maybe Star Trek season 4 or season 3 comes back in Atmos. That would be.
See, I like it because we have the commercial free, so we get our bowl from there. We get all our CBS shows there for free. Not for free.
Yeah, well, like I said, I watch Blue Bloods and Young Sheldon and all that stuff from there.
Yep. Exactly.
Because it's ad free. But none of that's in Atmos. I haven't really watched too many movies on that service because they don't do as many blockbusters as
but it's getting there.
I guess that's where all the Paramount stuff's going to go. So
Paramount Plus, Paramount Plus. Yeah, so all the Paramount stuff will go there.
Yeah,
right.
So going forward, they'll probably have more and more movie releases.
Yep,
as they come out. So
Peacock, I do enjoy. I like La Symbol. I'm enjoying that.
Yeah,
and then it's like for me, it's. Like I said, I mean, for those of you new to this show, I cut the cord over 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And by doing so, I'm saving over $100 a month off of what I used to pay. And the breakdown was I was paying like $200 a month for my Dish TV and getting all of my channels. And what I did is I went to Fubo. Now, you have to remember that when you're paying the $200 a month for Dish, I was still getting Disney Plus. Dish didn't include HBO, so I had to get HBO. And then Netflix, you were going to get that. And then maybe, I don't even know if there was, how many other streaming services were there at the time? Not too many. We were doing DC Universe. That was like $6, $7. But when you drop down, I went to Fubo for $60, $70 a month, got all the channels that I was getting on Dish.
Right,
and then I just upped to a few more streaming services. I'm still saving almost $100.
Yeah. Well, see, and I don't even do that. Like, I have no actual live TV provider.
Right. Yeah, you said
that. I just only stream at this point. I mean, I get live CBS on the Paramount app. I can get NBC on Peacock. Hulu has all the ABC stuff the next day. But yeah, I find I don't miss it. But like little things come up. Like I wasn't able to watch the playoff game, like the Red Sox games this week because I don't have any TV.
Yeah.
You know, I watched them on the MLB app, but I had to wait until 90 minutes after the game was over.
Oh, really?
Because it's blackout, you know, because it wasn't there. It was Fox content or something.
I got a good story on that.
So, well, I heard it.
Oh, did you hear today's podcast?
I did, yeah.
Oh, okay. Do you want me to not tell the listeners?
No, you can, but I heard it.
Because you're like, I heard it. All right, that shut me down real quick. Everybody's going, what, what? It's really not that interesting.
But I don't have any way to watch some of that stuff when it's live because I just literally don't have TV. So,
yeah. So, for those of you that didn't hear my other podcast that came out on Tuesday, my home theater one, I Tony Starked it. I felt like Tony Stark. We were at the bar on Sunday night, and the Pats game had just ended. The Sox game was starting, and it was like 4:30. And everybody's like, "Oh, where's the Red Sox game? Where's the Red Sox game?" And the bar don't have MLB TV, so they weren't able to put it on any of the TVs in the bar. And so I grabbed my phone and I have Fubo, and I didn't even know if I had MLB TV, so I just went on. I'm like, "Oh, it's right there," and then I hit the little icon to, you know, stream it to a television, and I clicked on that, and it showed me the televisions in the room. Sent it up to the television that I was facing, and I'm like, there it is up on the big screen, the biggest screen in the room. And everybody's like, "Hey, we're getting the Red Sox." And we're like, "Yep." I didn't tell anybody because I left after the ninth inning.
I was gonna say, the problem is you have to stay.
Yeah, now, that's right? What I said to Jen. I'm like, "Well, we'll stay to the ninth inning." We ended up staying until like 8:30.
That game ran for like 6 hours.
So yeah. I went up to Becky, the owner. I know the owners, and I go, I'm like, "Bye." And she's like, "Bring it in. Give me a hug." And I was like, "No, I was just gonna tell you, be careful, because when I go out the doors, probably as I'm pulling out of the parking lot, you're going to lose the game."
Right.
So I'm like, people might get upset. And she's like, that's all right. Because it was towards closing anyway. But
right.
But yeah, that went to, what, 13 innings? And But it was pretty cool. People that did ask, like, how'd you do that? I go, I just sent it right up, just like Tony Stark. So
there you go.
Felt like the head honcho. All right. Last question. I think I know the answer. This should be quick. He says, comics, I know you both read tons of recent issues, but do you find the time to dive into your long boxes and read retro stuff too? No.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm reading Strangers in Paradise right now.
And that's what I was going to say.
Yeah, I did Walking Dead last year. I will pick a series that I want to read that's older, and I'll dive into that. Right. I don't have a long box to dive into, actually, currently. Yep. But, of course, I have a store full of them. But no, I catch up on series that I've missed that I kind of want to read. But I don't generally go in and pull out books that I've already read or, you know, read in the past and reread them. Very rarely do I ever read anything twice because I don't have time. There's too much new stuff. It's almost like why I don't watch a lot of movies, because I can barely keep up with the new TV shows I'm trying to watch. I don't have time to sit and watch a movie I've already seen too often, you know?
So, yeah, I find it relaxing.
Because I find if the new stuff that's coming out, if I don't watch it, it will like just disappear and I'll never be able to see it again. So I can't put it off. I have to watch it right away.
It's gonna go away.
It's gonna leave me, and I'll miss it. So
yeah,
it won't be there on the internet forever. So I could catch up. I have to catch it. Right,
stuff's
now.
Gonna be around longer than we are.
I know.
Yeah. Same here. I don't have long boxes. I have a bunch of boxes from when I started back up, but that's not really that old. But yeah, I do go back and I'll read. Like I can't remember. I think Why the Last Man.
Well, I say we did Why the Last Man last
that's
year.
Probably the most recent older one. But I've done some other stuff, and I'll go back to some older issues that I remember.
I know
as a
you kind of reread Hush recently, and like Long Halloween and stuff like that.
But that to me is like, I also like to get those. There's something that I like to collect, Nick, and I like to collect those. What are they? The Ultimate Editions?
The Absolute Editions.
Absolute Editions. I absolutely love those.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, you see that? Creative.
I know.
but yeah, I love reading those. I love they're just this. They're bigger. I mean, Dr. Joe doesn't like it, but they're bigger. The color in. Which one was it? I think Long Halloween was actually, they didn't do a glossy sheet. They did a, you know, flat sheet. And it just, they're done so well, and there's so much there's so many extras to it as well for the artwork, right, and stuff like that. So I do, I guess I kind of collect those. I really get into those, and once I read one, I'll go back, and now all of a sudden, like, I'm halfway through what was the Superman one that I was reading? It's still upstairs in my bedroom. I'm about halfway through it right now.
Well, I don't know which one you were reading, but probably All-Star Superman.
No, it's an absolute absolute edition. It's the
what's that? Oh, it was the was the John Romita Jr. one. What was that? Yeah. Superman?
No, not Year One.
Year One.
No, yeah, no, I didn't do that one.
Frank Miller, John Romita Jr.
It's something like Absolute. It's not Absolute Superman. It's like
All-Star Superman. It's not All-Star Superman.
No, he has the black crest on the cover. Ah, man. People are yelling at us right now because they know which one I'm talking about. Oh, whatever. But I'm like halfway through it.
Okay.
But once I start reading those, I love to, like, I'll buy another one, and I'll buy, and they're like $70, $80. I think I paid, what did I pay for? I paid like $200 for one of them.
Oh, really?
But it was worth it. I love those books. So, all right. All right. That'll do that. That's it. That's all we have this week for mailbag. So thank you very much. If you'd like to contribute to mailbag, you can email us at thebrightsidechat@gmail.com, or you can tweet at us at @brightside_chat and hit me up on the DMs, or you can just tweet at us and I will be mentioning it here. And also you can, oh, where did that one go? It was, oh, hang on, because there is another one. How did that not get in there? There was one on YouTube, and yeah, let me pull that up right now. Here it is. How did that not get in there? Okay, this one came from J Rails 247, commented on our video, our Gun Honey video. He said, just finished this. I bought it for the cover, but actually loved this story. Totally surprised that it was so entertaining.
Bought it for the cover that you can't show.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, well, yeah. And, I mean, it is a great cover. Which one, I don't know. Yeah. He bought. But, yeah, the Gun Honey cover I had up was the standard one at the time. Right. So I'm not really sure. But yeah. So yeah, you can comment over there on YouTube as well. So. All right. You ready to move on to breaking news?
Sure.
All right.
All right. Hey, I guess, DJ, uh-oh, I don't know if you knew, but it was Agatha all along.
are you sure?
Looks like Disney Plus.
Who was doubting it?
Yeah, is developing a WandaVision spinoff starring Catherine Hahn as Agatha Harkness. Most likely a prequel series based on where she ended up at the end of WandaVision. But being Marvel, you never know. It could be.
So where did she end up at the end? I forget. Because couldn't they have
her? Well, she's kind of like in, she believes she's Agnes, right? Isn't she like in that world and forgot that she was Agatha? Isn't that how it ended? Like Wanda
she's doomed to just live that life.
Just to live that life as Agnes. But
maybe,
you know,
she gets out of there?
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's comics and it's right. Marvel, so it could be. But I would actually be more down for a prequel series. You know, we want to see her origin. I want to go back to the witch trials and see all, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
So I think that would be cool. But yeah, you know, shouldn't be a surprise. I mean, she was a breakout character from that show. And Agatha Harkness in the comics has a long history as a character. So there's a lot that they can pull from there.
Right. And that's why I'm hoping that the show actually gets her out of the town so that then she can appear in the movies.
Right.
You see what I mean?
Well, like, yeah, because in the comics, her association with Wanda is nowhere near finished. Like, you know, there should be a lot more to come in knowing that Wanda is going to continue to keep appearing in, like, Doctor Strange and probably other things going forward.
Right.
You know, Wanda, Agatha should be part of some of that. So hopefully that happens. But either way, you know, whether it's a prequel or a sequel, you know, I'm on board for either one. So
right, yeah, yeah. Yeah, anything like that from on Disney Plus, can't go wrong.
Yeah.
At least we haven't seen anything go wrong
yet. I think these are things that are happening more organically. Like, I don't think going into this, the plan was to have an Agatha spinoff show. You know what I mean? But based on the reception of the show and the character, I think they're starting to now develop things that were outside of their plans for the phase. You know what I mean? Yeah. Yeah. Like, you know, they're going to, as these shows continue to happen, you know, there'll be breakout characters in each one of these shows. That,
right.
You know, because again, I'd be down for a Darcy and Agent Wu X-Files show too, which probably isn't part of their plan either. But depending on, you know, how popular those characters are, maybe they do something like that. Or, you know, I mean, I'd be down for a Darcy and Howard the Duck show, honestly, after seeing it on What If. So.
I like Darcy. Not a big fan of Howard the Duck.
Yeah. But yeah, I like funny. I said, I think...
They're married now, aren't they? Or at least
they are,
in that universe. Yeah.
In that universe. But, you know, they're working on an... they're working on an Echo show, which is going to spin out of Hawkeye. So I think that these one show will beget another as we go on into this stuff. So,
yep. The Disney
Plus
tree.
Which is great. I mean, it's just... Right, it's just awesome. I'm waiting for more of this to happen in the Star Wars realm. You know what I mean? Like, not that there's any lack of projects they've announced for Star Wars, but it doesn't seem to be
like
growing.
That's a trickier...
It's not growing as rapidly as the MCU is.
But I feel like that's a trickier venture because the Star Wars fans seem more finicky, and you can kind of make them angry.
I mean, you're never going to please everybody anyways. But,
oh, I know that.
I mean, just put Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni in charge of it, and nobody will be upset with whatever they do over there. You know what I mean?
Yep. So. Yep. All right. Next up.
All right. Next, we have... so Hulu is working on a Hellraiser movie, and they have cast their Pinhead, Jamie Clayton, from a show called Sense8. And she will be the first female Pinhead.
Now, is she going to be the only Pinhead in the movie?
I don't know.
Or are they adding her to the movie?
I think this is a reboot, and she is Pinhead, but I'm not sure. Like, I'm not up on all the Hellraiser movie. I saw the first one or two, but I know that in the lore of the movies or in the canon, there's precedent for a female Pinhead. So I don't know if... Yeah, maybe she's just going to be working alongside the other Pinhead. I don't know.
Yeah, but, dating him.
Yeah, you know, they're gonna have little pin babies. You know,
I don't know. Heading off to work, it's tough to kiss goodbye.
Well, you know, hanging out on the pin cushion after work and watching TV. So,
oh god,
I don't know. Hey, I thought that was actually pretty good, but
but
that's because I'm a dad, and you know that was a clear dad joke.
Yeah. So. Oh man, yeah, exactly. All the dads in the audience.
Yeah, we're all laughing.
That's right.
Maybe on that commercial, like the. Is it the Liberty Mutual commercial or whatever, or Progressive? One of those insurance commercials.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, that's like Disney Cruise or what do they call it? The Jungle Cruise with The Rock. He does. He has a crap load of dad jokes. All he does through the whole thing. It's so funny.
Yeah.
Great. All right. Moving along. Oh, I like this one.
Yeah, so Apple TV Plus has renewed Foundation for season 2 and says there are apparently 7 seasons in the works.
Yeah.
7 or 8 seasons. I don't remember actually what it said, but
it's probably 8 cuz I'll talk more about it in a real world, but yeah, I'm listening
so
to
eight,
the
8 seasons planned, season 2 confirmed. Again, just hope people stay around long enough to get to 8 seasons.
There's when no we get to real world, I got some news for you. I don't think you're sticking around.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'll tell you why when we get there.
Oh, okay.
A little tease for later. I don't think you're going to like it.
post-apocalyptic, I guess. I don't know.
Well, yeah, clearly. But no, it's something else. I hope you stick around because it is, I meant to say it when we were talking earlier, it's my favorite show right now. Yeah. Absolutely love that show. But I'll talk more about it in real world. So
it's been good. It's been good.
Really good. Really right, good, John. Up, not just good.
Okay.
Damn it.
Really good. Really good. The right. Expanse, which has its upcoming sixth and final season, is going to premiere on Amazon Prime on December 10th. The bad news is this is only a six-episode final season. So this show has been fantastic. I've really enjoyed it. It's one of the better original shows on Amazon Prime, I think.
Yes.
I don't know. I know you started it. I don't know.
I got through season one. I do really enjoy it, but it's one of those ones that I want to watch in the theater. So
right. But you're actually way behind.
I'm way behind. So I will probably this winter. This is one of those shows that like C and
right.
Well, like right now I'm doing Foundation. That's once a week, so that's not a big deal. But when I can get time to get downstairs and watch something, that's what I'm doing. But
right,
hopefully in the next few weeks it starts getting chillier in the morning, and I got to stick around the house a little longer.
Yeah, but so. you got a whole boatload of shows on your list. So
yeah, but if I do that's 5 days a week that you know I need something to watch. I can I can go right through those things, no problem.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to this. I've enjoyed this show a lot. So
yeah.
I'm a little bummed that we're only getting six more episodes, but I'm looking forward to that. December is going to be jam-packed with stuff to watch. Because moving on to the next one, another show
that
actually... Look
at you. That was a professional segue right there, buddy.
Another show that I've actually really enjoyed, Lost in Space, is getting its third and final season on Netflix on December 1st. So that's coming up relatively soon.
I'm starting to figure out why you can take in so much more than I can.
Why is that?
Well, you watch everything. You and Lydia watch it. And it's like, I want to watch stuff in the theater. And most of the time...
Not everything. I do have a handful of things that I do on my own. Like, The Expanse is one that I'll do on my own. But again, that'll only drop one episode a week. So...
Right.
I just work that into my rotation somewhere, and I watch that. But as far as like bingeable shows where there's whole seasons of stuff that drop at once, I don't do too many of those by myself.
Right.
Lydia and I watch most things together. But yeah, and we'll both watch Lost in Space, but she doesn't do The Expanse. Yeah. This next one she doesn't do either. Doctor Who, season 13. Mm-hmm. will be premiering on Halloween, December 31st, on the BBC networks.
And I'm going to this one with you.
BBC America. So, yeah, if you want to add to your pile of shows, let me know when you want, like, seven or eight Doctor Who episodes to watch, and I'll pick some good ones and send them to you. Because I've actually been just going through my greatest hits episodes recently.
Oh, really? So.
Yeah, there's some
John's
greatest hits, and my greatest hits comprised of just a Google search that says what are the 10 best Doctor Who episodes. I mean, I have a couple that I like. I already knew a few of them.
Always copying.
Yeah, I had a few that I already knew. You know, that have stuck with me that I always liked. But you know, there's 100 plus episodes. You know, so finding the ones to watch when you're only going to watch one.
100 plus. How many episodes are in a season?
It's probably more than that.
Yeah, because 13 seasons.
Probably more than that, yeah. And again, that's just in the...
What is that on?
Current. It's on BBC.
Oh, BBC, okay.
Yeah, so, I mean, we get it on BBC America. It'll premiere in England probably first. It might already be done there by the time we get it. I'm not sure how that works, but I think we get it after they do.
Yep. Think we're getting it before them.
No. another premiere date, Star Trek Discovery Season 3 premieres on November 18th on Paramount Plus. Another one I'm looking forward to. Hopefully they'll have it in Atmos since it's on Paramount Plus.
Yep.
That'd
be cool.
Yeah, I know you don't do Discovery either, but...
No, I did Picard with you, but...
Yeah, you did Picard. Yeah. Discovery is... I think it's a pretty great show. And then last but not least, Will Poulter has been cast as Adam Warlock for Guardians of the Galaxy 3. Yep. News just broke yesterday, really, although it was kind of rumored the day before. And then James Gunn, well, I saw actually James Gunn confirmed it this morning on Twitter.
I have the tweet right here. I put it up on YouTube. James Gunn says, as you guys know, I often strike down false rumors. So, welcome to the Guardians family, Will Poulter. He's an amazing actor and wonderful guy. See you in a couple of weeks. Hashtag Adam Warlock.
I like him. The few things I've seen him in. But he was in the Black Mirror movie on Netflix.
Oh, okay.
And he was really great in that.
I saw some images of him. I didn't really recognize him from anything that I've seen him in. So I'm not
He's been in a couple of comedy movies, like those vacation travel movie kind of things.
Oh, okay.
But I can't remember. You know, he plays the teenage son in some vacation spinoff or something. But yeah, I really, where I saw him in a little bit more dramatic role was that Black Mirror movie on Netflix, so, which was really cool. That was
cool.
A pretty cool movie. So,
all right.
Yeah, and that's it for news that I have.
Alrighty. All right. That's great. Are you ready to get to some comics now that we are almost an hour into the show?
I know we have to keep
2 weeks in a row.
Keep this train a moving.
Keep it a moving. Alrighty, John. What am I gonna spend my money on this week?
So I want to preface this by saying you won't be able to get any of these books in my store because I don't have any Marvel comics. But first up is The Amazing Spider-Man number 76, 1 in 25 variant by Patrick Gleason, currently selling for between $40 and $50. Batman The Audio Adventures one-shot is a 1 in 25 variant that's selling for between $50 and $70. Again, this is a $9.99 project that probably didn't have a ton of comics ordered, so I don't know how many 1 in 25 variants are out there waiting to be picked up, but, you know, and hence the $50 to $70 price tag on it. Immortal Hulk number 50. This, you know, is the final issue of the Immortal Hulk run. Million covers out here. So, again, this is kind of like we like to call them the anti-spec book because there's just so many of them out, so many covers out there that it starts to impact the value of them. But the 1 in 100 variant cover is doing pretty well, selling for between $130 and $180. The 1 in 50 variant is selling just at ratio and looks like it's trending downwards. So other than the 1 in 100, there's probably, you know, probably nothing to really be looking for here. Joker number 8, the James Stoko variant, 1 in 25, selling for right around ratio at $25. This one might go up because it looks like they're selling pretty quickly at that price. So as they start to dry up a little bit, it might start peaking up a little bit. Miles Morales number 31, this is a 1 in 25 variant selling for $35 to $40.
I don't have that image. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah, no problem. I don't either. Shang-Chi number 5 has a 1 in 50 Frank Cho variant. Looks like it's selling at about $100, so almost double ratio there. Star Trek Mirror War issue number 1. There's a 1 in 15 variant with Data on the cover, selling for between $15 and $40.
Did you know, I wanted to ask you about this, did you know that there's an entire Data line for this as well?
Data line?
Yeah, so Star Trek The Mirror War, if you look it up, there's actually a bunch of Data books. It's the same book, but it just says Star Trek The Mirror Data. And it's like a bunch of books that are all Data. But this is the 1 in 15, the one... Yeah, if you look it up,
I haven't seen anything on diet. Like, I haven't seen any of that to order, so I'm not sure how you get them. But
yeah, I'll have to send you. I'll take some pictures. I'll screen grab a couple of things for you and show you what I'm talking about. But it's it was weird because when I put in the Data thing, there was actually a book for it, and it's called The Mirror War. data. And there's like four covers, I think, for it. But this is the 1 in 15, and it's actually like the shattered look. I don't know if you've seen it.
No, I haven't, but maybe Data's like a one, you know, it might be a one-shot spinoff, you know, just like they do with King and Black.
It looked like it was the same book.
Screech or whatever, you know, I don't know, but.
But all right, anyways.
Okay, next along. Up, yep, Symbiote Spider-Man Crossroads, number 4. The 1 in 25 Peach Momoko variant, selling for between $40 and $50.
Whoops. For some reason, I didn't get that image. I don't know.
No.
Because I just go right to the next one. All right.
Okay. And then last but not least, White, number 4. For some ungodly reason, still limited and allocated all the way up to issue number 4. Selling for between $10 and $15. Like I got allocated down to one copy. I couldn't even fill the two people that wanted it. So, it's crazy that you know you can't even get two copies of a book by issue 4. It's not like it's still number 1, you know.
Well, see, I almost feel like we should just stop talking about it because they're only doing it to drive up that price, but it's not doing any good for store owners.
Well, because the problem is even driving up the price. I can't sell it because I don't have it. So,
exactly. You know. That's what I'm saying.
Because the guy that pre-ordered it from me is going to get it for $3.99. I'm not going to jack it up and sell it to him for $15.
Right.
So,
and you can't. Yeah, it's just that I don't like what they're doing. And it's like you said, it's 4 books and like, oh, watch this. They're going to make my book really valuable. Never mind. I don't like the book, period.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I've never read it. Yeah. I don't know anything about it because I never had a copy stick around long enough to look at it.
Right.
But. All right. And like I said, that is it for Speculator Roundup.
All righty. Well, let's get into the back issue bonus. Okay.
All right. First up, Star Wars Dr. Aphra, number 15. This is the 2018 series. This first appearance of Deck Nil and Sister Six and Glassed Umbra. So for some reason, that's $15 to $25. Fantastic Four, number 94. Already a pretty hot book with I believe it's the first appearance of Agatha Harkness. And, you know, since they've announced her spinoff, this is definitely going up. For some reason, I don't have any prices attached to this, though, so I don't know what it's currently going for, but definitely one to keep your eyes out for either way.
Yep.
Next, Marvel Holiday Special, 1991. This is the origin of Santa, and he is revealed to be an Omega level mutant.
Fantastic.
I guess going into the Christmas season, $10 is the average, but there have been outlier sales up to $40. So
that's
pretty awesome, actually. Yeah, I didn't know that, but that's awesome.
I didn't know Omega level.
Because like when Hickman put out his list of Omega level mutants back in the House of X.
That's above Professor X, isn't it?
Yeah, but there was no mention of Santa on that list, so I don't know what happened. Maybe he's been demoted since then.
Well, that explains how he gets around the planet in one night.
I know.
I mean, I always was figuring time zones help, but I mean, being an Omega level mutant.
That's it. Yep. He's actually everywhere at once. He just projects himself to every house at the same time. Ooh. He's like Madrox, the multiplying man.
Yeah.
Or whatever. So
that's funny. I got to pick that one up.
Yeah. Next up, a book I never thought I'd see on the list, Young Blood, issue number 2.
I love that movie.
Of Prophet. Oh yeah, this isn't the Rob Lowe movie.
Oh,
this is the Rob Liefeld Youngblood.
Oh, I thought it was hockey.
I like that movie too, but
Cynthia Gibb.
Yeah, and that's why I like it. But this is the first appearance of Prophet.
John, we gotta keep this clean. I don't want Lydia getting upset again.
I know. Apparently, Jake Gyllenhaal has been attached to work on a Prophet film, so. Yeah, take this out of your 50-cent boxes.
The Youngblood green or the Youngblood with the pink logo?
Yeah, so the green logo covers are averaging now $15 to $20. Ooh. there has been a couple sales as high as $50. Pink logo variant, a little bit in less demand, $12 to $20. Yeah, I don't even know. I've got too many dollar boxes to go through to even care about trying to find one of these, but I guarantee you there's one or two floating around in there.
Oh, so. I got to tell you, over on YouTube for John, by the way, now our 32 followers. We had that bump up, remember?
Yeah, we've almost doubled. Yeah.
Yeah, 32 followers. But people following over on YouTube, you're getting a psychedelic treat right now because I'm flipping back and forth between the green,
between the green and the pink.
And it's the exact same cover, so everything stays the same except for the colors. Yeah. And it's like even the colors in the costume. Oh, it is. You're going to love it. Every now and then I slip up and go back to, what's this one? Marvel Holiday Special.
Oh, nice.
But when you go between the green and the pink, oh, really cool. I'm doing it right now. Almost as good as Cynthia Gibb.
The next time I'm indulging, I'll put this video on and watch it and see.
Happening. I almost used a bad word. Yeah, you're going to get all banged up.
Yeah. So.
Woo! All right, let's move on. I'll have too much fun with this myself.
Yeah. Cable Deadpool number 24. This is the first time Spider-Man and Deadpool meet. We've been talking about first meetings for a while.
Did we have this one already? I thought we had it a couple weeks ago.
Well, if we did, it's gone up in price since then. Because this thing is now up to between $250 and $350, which is just crazy. For basically just a first meeting of characters. Not even first appearances of either one of these characters.
Right.
Just the first time they appeared together in a comic. So pretty crazy.
Forever friends since.
That's right. Spider-Man Deadpool was one of the best series I've read in the last few years. That was such a fun series to read.
They're both quippy and everything. Yeah.
Really disappointed when they ended that series. Next up, Doctor Strange Damnation number 2. This is the first appearance of a new Midnight Suns team, and this is the first actual Blade and Moon Knight team up. Once again, I don't have any prices on here. I gotta proofread these things before I send them because I don't have any prices on that either. But still, go out and get one. And then,
regardless of price,
I mean, you can Google it if you really want to know.
Exactly.
And then Moon Knight. I'm not here to do all your work for you, man.
Yeah, these are the cliff notes.
Listeners, you got to put in some effort, man. And then last but not least, because, you know, I'm not here to put in any more effort from all these notes I just steal from somebody else and cut and paste into these show notes.
So, there you go.
Anyway, last but not least, Moon Knight number 21. First meeting of Moon Knight and Brother Voodoo. Selling for between $20 and $25.
Nice.
And that is it for back issue bonus.
All righty. All right. Let's get ourselves demonetized here. Here we go.
Yeah.
FOC for this week.
All right. FOC. We had pretty quick FOC this week, so we'll fly right through this.
Hang on. But my FOC images aren't showing up here.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, why aren't they? Hang on.
Okay.
Talks amongst yourselves.
Yeah.
Boom, boom. Why aren't my images showing up? FOC. Boom, boom. Here we go. I wish I could sing. I could really.
I know. We could entertain.
Yeah. All right. Let me slide this into place.
I could be talking, but I don't have anything prepared. So.
Anybody watching on YouTube right now is like, oh, look at this. He's actually moving stuff around. Everything's happening. Okay. Here we go. Back to FOC. Okay. Here we go. FOC. First up, we have.
Starting with DC, we have variant covers for Joker number 9.
Yes.
This is the B cover and C cover.
I got them both.
These are connecting variants done by Miko Soyan. Left side features Punchline. Right side features the Joker. And together they make a pretty nice image.
Oh, okay. I see what you're doing there.
And it's just
front and
like,
back, really.
You know, a very blatant cash grab by DC to get you to buy the B cover and the C cover. Nice. Pretty cool image altogether, though. I like it. I like the punchline. If I was going to pick one, I'd get the B cover, which is punchline. But
yeah. Yeah, that's
then,
suitable for framing.
They are, yes. And, you know, really, when you think of it that way, where you're going to find a picture to frame for only $12, so it's great
exactly.
value.
Exactly. I
mean,
the frame's going to cost you more than that, but if you,
exactly.
you know, if you mat it correctly and make it, I mean, we took matting. We learned how
exactly.
to cut mats and everything.
We're talking tens of dollars.
Tens of dollars. And yeah. it could be valued at even tens more.
Tens more.
All right.
All right. And then next up, Superman, Son of Kal-El, number 5, in Hyuk Lee.
I don't know why this isn't a hit.
Yeah, well, we didn't touch on this news.
Yeah.
Because honestly, I don't feel like it's news, but it was announced yesterday. Yesterday is National Coming Out Day, and it was announced that John Kent is coming out as bisexual, and this cover features John and... I don't know the name of this character, but he's been in the series from the beginning. But I guess John and his boyfriend on the cover. So, yeah.
Okay.
I don't think that's news. I it's fine. It's just a thing. But I don't know. Like that's why I didn't bring it up in the headlines. Cause,
well, you know what?
It, you know,
you heard. I'm sure you heard Garmin today. I kind of agree with him.
Yeah.
I kind of agree with him. I don't. It's like. I don't like that it's like, doesn't it feel forced?
It feels forced. Well,
like
it feels
to sell
like
books.
It feels like DC is just trying to capitalize. And again, you know, I mean, none of us are naive. Like DC's job is to sell comics. But this feels more like pandering than it does actual organic storytelling.
Right.
You know, it's just like, hey, you know, we're going to do this to sell these comics. As opposed to it just being an organic part of the story. And, but you know, other than that, again, I'm all for inclusivity. I'm all for representation and all of that. I just don't think it's a headline and it's, I don't think it's something that needs to be
right.
You know, brought up that way. So, but anyway, all that being said, it's a cool cover. I like it in Hyuk Lee, friend of the podcast.
So, yeah, no, it is a cool cover. I just think it diminishes when, like actual events happen when somebody comes out or something,
right?
You know what I mean? It's like kind of like, I don't know. I guess it's a tangent to like the Boy Who Cried Wolf or whatever. But it's like, oh look, this person buy this book. This person did this, and you're like, come on,
right?
So, because like we've said before, there have been many characters that have been out in one way or another for many many years, and it's just all of a sudden they're just here we go. Here's another one.
Well, and again, I feel like the spirit of the day is to encourage people to come out or, you know, live their truth or whatever it is. I don't really think it applies to fictional characters. So the fact that DC used this day to promote selling comic book, you know what I mean? Like this,
right.
It just That's feels,
the, yeah,
it just felt a little swarmy to me. You know what I mean? Like, you know, it's not about fictional characters because at the end of the day, nobody cares about fictional characters. It's real people that we care
How
about.
How brave it was of him in that
exactly
book.
Right. Like, oh, the backlash he had to go through. To come out. You know, it's like it's just
that's what I mean. It kind of diminishes feels, what people really go through, and they're trying to do it to make a buck. It's like make a buck creatively some other way. All right.
We're down to 20 subscribers, by the way.
Yeah, I know. Can I put our soapbox down here?
Yeah.
Two straight white guys hitting you.
I know.
Tipicating on.
It's just like the talking about things we have no business talking about.
Well, I'm allowed to have an opinion. You don't have to agree with it, but. Right. And again, there go those subscribers.
Yeah, now we're down to 16.
So. You're right. I don't have to agree with it.
Right.
Bye.
Bye. There's the door.
Yeah.
anyway, moving on.
Moving right along.
For new series from DC, we have Wonder Woman Historia, the Amazons, number one. So Wonder Woman Historia feels like it's going to be like an anthology type of series where it might delve into the different histories of her lore. And this one, it looks like it's going to focus on the Amazons. This is number one of three. It's got two covers. This is a Black Label series.
This is a cool cover.
It is a cool cover.
I feel bad for the peacocks. I mean, PETA's going to be all over them. I mean, but it's it also looks like it's going to be an oversized book as well. This is your standard size.
I think it's your kind of your standard Black Label size, which is the oversized magazine. It's the magazine size.
The magazine size, which usually has some nice artwork in it. So I'm kind of looking forward to this one. Yeah. John Romita Jr. is not involved, is he?
I don't think so.
Okay, cool. Yep. Good. All right.
Moving along. Moving on to Marvel, there were no variant covers available today, and there is one new series only. It's Hawkeye number one. This is going to be a 5-issue miniseries. It is focusing on Kate Bishop's Hawkeye just in time for the show, and there are multiple covers available for that.
Yep. Cover that we have up is really cool. I like the cover. Very nice.
From Boom, we have a spinoff to their Magic the Gathering series. This is Magic, the Master of Metal, issue number one. For those in the know of the Magic community, it focuses on a character called Tezzeret, and he is a master of metal.
So. And for those not in the know, is that him on the cover?
It is him on the cover. Okay. Yes. Yeah.
It is a really cool cover.
It is a cool cover.
Practically suitable for framing.
Yes. And at only half the cost of the double issues of Joker
I
number
like
nine.
What you did there. You did that math really quick.
I did.
At I only half
to,
the
I
cost.
I didn't even have to take my shoes off or anything. So,
phew.
well, I don't we have already to take my shoes off to subtract, only
we
to
already
add.
Established last week that you're naked from the neck down. Why are you wearing shoes?
That's so I can count to 21, by the way. If I have my clothes on, I'm
Lydia,
stuck at
20. Would you get a hold of him? Do me a favor, Lydia, right now.
I wish you'd get a hold of 21, but that's beside the point. Or 11, Lydia. I don't know. It depends on it depends on how you count. But anyways, moving right along. Dynamite has
this is why it is a clean show, because I have so many comebacks for you right now.
Just leave them.
Decimate you.
Leave them at the door.
Get in anyway. With your pants. All right.
I don't know if this is NYX or NYX. I don't know what the title is. Yeah, Lucio Perillo did the cover, though, and
awesome
it's great.
Cover.
And that's just the main cover. There are like 37 others to choose from. But
of course.
But the main cover is actually...
beautiful
cool.
cover.
Yeah, really nice.
Really nice how everything transitions nicely. It just, I mean, and you barely notice there's a naked woman in there.
Barely no. noticed. So, I didn't notice at all, you know, hint, hint. But
yeah, you're the one that picked the cover. But yeah, it is a really, really cool cover.
Well, no, Dynamite picked the cover.
There's 27 other covers and you showcased this one.
Well, it's the main one.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It is now.
And then last but not least, from Aftershock Comics, we have My Date with Monsters, issue number one. There's only one cover available.
Not nearly as dramatic and beautiful as the last one.
Yeah. And, you know, she's got clothes on, so, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Can't all be winners, John.
Nope, they can't. I think we should make NYX the show title so you can put that thumbnail up on YouTube.
Yeah, we'll get a strike then. That's
see,
2 weeks
see
in a
how
row.
Quickly, yeah, see how quickly that one comes down.
I know. So. Well, maybe when NYX comes out, I bet you that wouldn't get a strike though, because you can barely tell. I mean, you wouldn't know. It's a beautiful.
Well, I mean,
cover,
there was
though.
No actual nudity on the Gun Honey cover either, but it's
but that was super obvious. It looked like there was. This one here, if you're just flipping through, you're not gonna. I don't think you'd see that. It's just a nice cover. Is all.
It is really cool.
All right, that'll do it for FOC. Let's get to what's up next. Oh, we have checkout and very limited for me this week, but nonetheless. Let's get the checkout.
All right. So first up, from Aftershock Comics, we have Chicken Devil number one, written by Brian Buccolato and art by Hayden Sherman.
Good old Hayden.
Good old Hayden.
Thought I met him. That's the one.
Hayden Sherman?
Yes. Nope. Yeah, I talked to him, met him. He was at Friendly Neighborhood. He went to RISD. Lives in the Boston area, actually.
Oh, so did he do that Frankenstein book?
Is
that the one we were talking about?
He did? The one where it buried underneath.
That I stopped reading.
Yeah, you didn't like it. You're like, gee, I'll never forget that. That was one of your coincidences. What are the odds that they find the stuff in the floorboards in the second page? Right. Well, if they don't, John, there's no book. I know. Well, we could have put it off to the third book, but we were standing around in a hotel for no reason.
Right.
Why are we all here? I don't know. There's three books to read.
I know we have to tell stories, but some coincidences are just too hard to swallow, man. Like, I'm watching a show. There's a show, one of the shows I watch during the week. It's A Million Little Things. I won't get into it too much, but there's basically a character that's been in been in a coma for a couple of weeks, right? He got beat. He got beat up pretty bad. He's been in a coma. He's suspected of misappropriate behavior, anyways, with his students. So anyways, he's been unconscious for all this time. Somebody clues the wife in to the fact that her husband may have done these things, and so finally she grabs his phone and she wants to start going through his stuff. And like the instant she picks up the phone, he wakes up. And I'm like, I don't buy it, man. Like, there's just way too much of a coincidence there. Like, I've been in a coma for weeks, and all it took to wake me up was my wife to grab my phone and start to go through my stuff.
That is actually what would happen. Because in reality, if you were conscious, you put yourself in a coma when your wife grabs your phone.
True.
Like, uh-oh, fake the heart attack.
Yeah. It wasn't me. I just can't abide those such obvious lazy writing story points. I don't know. But
Anyways. Hayden Sherman, great guy, great conversation.
Back to Chicken Devil.
We talked for like an hour. But anyways, go ahead. Chicken Devil.
Did you read this?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I did.
I didn't really, as I was reading this book, I didn't really know what to think of it. I'll be honest with you, I didn't really like it a whole lot. I found it a little too jumping around and a little bit disjointed. But it really kind of comes together.
It
comes together right at the end.
Yes.
And again, kind of did what a book is supposed to do because I almost put this book down twice.
Honestly,
did not. I was not enjoying it at all. I couldn't get into it. I didn't really like the characters, and I found it a little bit hard to follow. But then it comes together right at the end, and now I'm like, kind of want to see the next issue.
That's why.
But anyways, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, I'm like, I feel the same way. I was reading the whole thing, and I was like, well, God, I mean, AWA, we have the next book. I'm like, chances are, as I'm reading, I'm like, this isn't going to be the show title.
Right.
And then by the end of the book, I'm like, this might be the show title. I liked that about it. But you have to get through it. You have to power
You do have to power through it.
Because it pays off.
Tough. Yeah. It was a little tough. But you follow this character named Mitchell. He's the owner of a franchise of hot chicken restaurants.
Yeah,
chain of restaurants.
Yeah, like a Popeyes
and him
or something.
And his business partner, you find out towards the end that basically they made a deal with the mob. They had
Ozark.
Borrowed some money.
Have you seen Ozark?
I've seen.
So it's like the opening season of Ozark, really. Right. This first book is kind of like that.
Yeah, kind of get in the bed with the mob, and you find out, as he doesn't really know right away. He kind of is finding it out as we're finding it out as a reader. And and basically it all comes to a head right at the end of the book. And I think, like I said, it kind of comes up a notch. I don't understand the Chicken Devil part of it. Like, he puts this chicken head on at the end. That I thought was a little weird because there was no setup for it at all going into
like
it.
Why did he have it?
It was just odd to find him to turn the page and see him standing there with a chicken suit.
I think,
I'm guessing it's probably like the the mascot, like the costume of his mascot. But like why he was wearing it or was had
Probably
it with
has
him
it in the is, car or something.
Yeah, it was a little weird. But I kind of get the sense going forward that it's kind of going to be like the Equalizer, and he's going to run around in this chicken devil, just chicken head costume, trying to get revenge or something. I don't know.
Well,
but
I don't know about revenge. I think he's just trying to survive. And it's a lot. That's why I said it's a lot like Ozark. Like this guy's been put in a bad situation that kind of really wasn't his fault.
No, his partner.
I don't
want to
give away. I don't want to give away anything. But just saying, it's like Ozark doesn't give it away at all. But
you can kind of guess like what happens when the mob.
You can't. But I mean, big one.
But if you've seen any kind of mob movie, you know what happens when you owe money to the mob, and you know,
right?
They kind of come after you.
Yeah,
so.
And it's good. It is really good. And then by the end of it, but like you said, it's kind of jumping around. But that's kind of what you would be like. It's like when I put myself in his shoes, it kind of did what you would be doing in that situation. You'd be panicking. You'd be like, "What do I? How do I do this? All right." And he's trying to do the right thing, or the best thing that he could possibly think of. Right.
Right.
And it's that's why I'm saying you're right. I was sketchy about it. I'm like, this is weird. But then all of a sudden, the ending of it, the last third of the book or a quarter of the book, it puts you in focus. And you realize what's going on. And I think the chicken devil thing is he was just a normal guy owning these chicken restaurants. And now he's got to play the part of the devil and he's got to do something he doesn't want to do. And I think that's the play on words there. But I'm definitely in for this.
At the end of the day, I liked it. But I'll be honest with you, I only finished it because of this show. Because I knew we were going to talk about it.
You wouldn't even have known about it.
If it wasn't the fact that I wanted to, you know, because it's not cool to come on here and go, yeah, this is the book we're going to talk about, but I didn't read it because I didn't like, you know what I mean?
Right.
So I finished it and gave it a chance, and it kind of paid off. But
yeah,
I only kept going because of this. Otherwise, I would have probably not read. If it was any other book of the week, I wouldn't have finished it.
Right.
And I probably would have missed out because, you know, like I said, now I got to go back and pick up all the other books I never finished. And see if they got better at the end.
A lot of John Romita Jr.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you ever get to Gun Honey?
No, I still don't have it.
Yeah,
I'm waiting. I think the third print's coming out, well, probably two more weeks. It was just on FOC last week. So I won't. Yeah, I'll read it for sure when it comes. I think it comes out the same time number two does. So
yeah,
I'll more than likely read both of them when they come in.
Yeah. Cool. So, cool.
Yeah.
All right, this next one.
Yeah, so the next book is Out, issue number one from AWA. This was written by Rob Williams, had art by Will Conrad. This book takes place at the end of World War II. You know, I forget where we – was it Poland, I think, is where they were? I'm not sure.
Czechoslovakia,
yeah. But it follows a bunch of people that are in like a POW camp. Mm-hmm. And I'll be honest with you, again, this is another one where I didn't really dig this book. I found it really slow. I found it really slow, and it just didn't do a whole lot for me. It was just focusing on these POWs that apparently have tried to – all of them had been caught trying to escape from different from various camps and were being brought to – "quote unquote Alcatraz," like they're being brought to the camp where
an inescapable camp.
Yeah, nobody can escape from. This is really all it is until like the very last panel or of the book, you know, or the last page, and you realize that you know
you get the cover.
It's a monster story.
It's a monster story.
Yeah, and it's reading the synopsis, you get a little bit more information, I guess, than the book itself tells you. But apparently, this is like the vampire is the secret weapon of the Nazis, and they're being brought there so they can be test subjects for the weapon. You know, is what it says here. At the end of the day, this is like a vampire book. Unlike Chicken Devil, though. the last page didn't do enough for me to bring me into this. Like,
right.
I at this point, there's no novelty to a vampire story anymore. Like, every other story is a vampire story. So this book didn't do enough to hook me in the first 21 pages that I even cared when I got to page 22 and saw the vampire or whatever it was, you know?
Right.
To me, this is the first AWA book that really is kind of a swing and a miss for me. I didn't find it all that compelling.
I had to keep going back to the cover and say, yeah, it's AWA.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't think the artwork was bad. I didn't think that. I actually don't even think the writing is bad. I just don't like the story.
You know what really struck me as I was reading this? The fact that I started to read the review copy a few weeks ago and didn't finish it and didn't even remember that I read it because I just didn't find it good.
Right.
But as I read the first three or four pages, I was like, I've already read this. But by page five, I was like, well, I didn't read this, so this must be where I stopped. And
that's too bad.
And I didn't even remember it. So it was very unremarkable. So, unfortunately, I
well, let's make don't some think, remarks.
Yeah, I don't think this was
no, wasn't. Hey, they can't all be gems, John. They can't. And AWA is on a hell of a run. All of their stuff has been fantastic up until this one. I just thought that I thought the story was going somewhere else, and then you get that last page, and it was actually the exact opposite of Chicken Devil, where you were like, "Well, that's disappointing." It needed to be more about that last page, a little bit more to drag you into that, a little bit more of a horror vibe. Right. It was really like. Because, almost like Hogan's Heroes or something.
Yeah, because up until like that the point, there was, thing. Right, there was no indication that the vampire was a pawn of the Nazis or anything. Like, there was no lead up to any of that. I'm sure it comes in issue two.
I was looking for Colonel Klink. I'm looking for
some of that. Yeah.
The stuff that it felt like Hogan's Heroes to me, where they were just, these guys are all at this camp and they're captured and they're like, oh, how are we, and the title is Out, so you're thinking like, okay, so what is this story going to do about guys trying to escape from the camp? Because they're like, oh, we've been digging this hole for a few weeks, so
right,
and they lead you in a direction of this guy's a spy and he speaks a different. So you're thinking all these. I'm like, okay, maybe that'll be interesting. And then the last page, it hits you, and you're like,
right,
it felt like everything leading up to that was a giant waste of time.
Yeah,
you're like. Who cares if this is a spy or not? We're talking about a vampire.
Right.
Well, you know, so I don't know. It went in the wrong direction. So
without, I think so too.
Without further ado, what's the title, huh? Come on.
Well, I guess it has to be Chicken Devil, right? And
isn't that hysterical? Yeah.
It is.
Chicken Devil.
As I was reading that book, I didn't think I was going to finish it. So.
Exactly. And by the time you're done reading Chicken Devil, you're like this.
Yeah.
So there we go. Chicken Devil it is. Chicken Devil it. Chicken Devil number one from Aftershock. And it was really good. And
it was.
But it had a payoff.
Well, that's the thing. It wasn't all very good, but it paid off at the end. And
no, exactly.
It made it better. Because once you know the end, it kind of makes the rest of the book a little bit.
Right. When in actuality, the other way around with Out was probably a little better going through it. And then you get to the end of it and you're like, that was a giant waste of time.
Yeah.
You should have led with that and then, you know, showed us where we're going. But yes, Chicken Devil number one. All right. What else do we have coming up next?
We have coming next week, ETER number one. Actually, this is just a one shot, but it is also from AWA.
I am really disappointed we don't have a white ET in this one phoning home. Like sick ET. That's what I was expecting when I looked up the cover for this.
Yeah.
Hopefully AWA can redeem themselves next week.
Yeah, you know, because they're on a they're on the downslide now,
yeah, exactly.
I guess, after one book.
I know, it's been almost 2 years.
Yeah, all those great books,
but now
they're suspect.
Yeah, exactly. Come on.
You're going to have to
redeem
yourself.
Come on, AWA.
And then we also have World of Darkness Crimson Thaw issue number one.
Crimson. This looks interesting.
It does. Yeah, I don't know anything about it, but it looks interesting.
Yeah, looks really interesting. All right. What else did you read this week? I think I just caught up on Batman, and I'm not really sure what else.
Well, I read all the books of the week, really.
Okay, but tell me about the best.
Well, honestly, the only one I wrote down to talk about is Dark Ages number 2.
I didn't read that.
Oh, really? Mm-mm. So if you liked Dark Ages a lot, which we both did, this is 10 times better.
Really?
This series it jumped up another notch after this issue.
Wow.
And it was fantastic. Like, it was such a good issue. Again, I guess I can't spoil anything because you haven't read it yet, but I would like to talk about it, but I'll just leave it at that. It's great. Definitely the best book of the week. And I know you will read it.
Oh, eventually, yeah. So, I'll read it for next week, so let's do that.
Yeah, so it was great. And then for me, I read more Strangers in Paradise. I'm up to issue 30 or so now. I'm really digging that. I think it's a lot of fun.
What was that one that you said?
Strangers in Paradise. Talked about it last week. That's the one I started. It's like a 90s comic. Terry Moore does he's the writer, artist, creator on it. And it's a lot of fun. It's been a great series. The more, like I said, the more I dig into it and kind of get to know the characters, it's a really, really good, a good book. So, so I read a lot of that. Like I said, I read another 20 or so issues of that this week. So that's kind of what I read. So,
all right. I can't even, what did I read so far? Let me look here. Oh, yeah, I've read the Batman. I started The Nice House on the Lake, and it was late. I was tired. I was aggravated.
Actually really good, too, though.
I was looking forward to it. I was just in a bad mood. I went upstairs, and Jen's like, everything okay? I go, yeah, I'm done. There you go.
That issue definitely...
It wasn't the book. It was me.
Definitely tilts things on its head, knowing that we've got one more, and then we're going into a long hiatus with that. Speaking of long hiatuses, there is another bit of news that I didn't bring up. The long-awaited return of Saga was announced this week.
Ooh.
Brian K. Vaughan and Fiona Staples have announced that Saga returns in January of 2022. So for those of us that have been waiting 3 years for that book to come back, that was very welcome news. I will be rereading all of Saga before then because I haven't seen it for 3 years and I don't remember it at all. So I will be rereading the first 55 issues of that, and I'm not upset at all that I have to reread it because it is such a fantastic book that I actually am looking forward to reading it again. Cool. To see what I can pick up. But yeah, that's actually big news in the comic book world. So
yeah,
really looking forward to that.
That'll be fun to talk about.
Yeah.
Cool.
There's only a 3 year cliffhanger that we've been waiting to get answered. So
we've had worse.
That's worse than waiting for Luke, I Am Your Father.
That is. What was the one? There was another one recently that we waited a long time for, and I wasn't on board ahead of time, so it didn't bother me. Can't remember what it was. That'll be good.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. What else? Yeah, that's it for me. I didn't get a lot of reading in this week. Super busy, so. I'll definitely be checking out Dark Ages for next week, and I'm actually looking forward to The Joker, too, for next week as well.
Yeah, me too.
We'll talk about that next week, but it's actually out today. I was hoping to read it, but... All right. You ready to get to checkout?
Real world.
Real world.
I am.
All right. Yeah, let's get to real world, because we already did checkout, didn't we?
We did. Chicken Devil. Right.
Chicken Devil.
Winner, 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 Chicken winner, Devil.
Chicken Devil. There we go. All right. Let's get to real world.
That should be the title. Winner, winner, chicken devil.
Yeah. Oh, tired. And I still have to skate.
I know.
All right. What do you got this week, John? What was on your big screen?
First thing is we went to Went to the movies again this week.
Yes, I can't wait to hear. Saw
the new James Bond film, No Time to Die.
So, John, let me ask you. Let me put it out there formally. I haven't been able to see this. I've heard mixed reviews. I've been waiting all week. No kidding. Before we got on, I go, don't tell me. I was waiting for the podcast. Please, John, tell me why I should go see this 2-hour and 45-minute movie.
Why you should go see it? I mean, are you a Bond fan? If you're a Bond fan, you should go see it.
Yes, but, I am a Bond fan.
But yeah, this is, well, again, for those that have been living under a rock, this is Daniel Craig's final outing as Bond.
Yeah.
Well, here's what I'll say. Here's my spoiler-free review on this movie. This movie, as you just said, had a runtime of 2 hours and 45 minutes.
Mm.
For 2 hours and 37/38 minutes or so, this was a fantastic movie.
Oh, no.
I was really, really mad at the end of this film.
Oh.
Like really upset with the end of this movie.
Now you have me intrigued.
I don't like the way they wrapped up his story.
Don't tell me he had a suit in the garage. And no, you don't know where it came from.
That being said, here's what I liked about like Daniel Craig's tenure overall as Bond is different in the sense that there was sort of a cohesive story in his five movies.
Right.
Like multiple characters came in and out and showed up multiple times, and other characters were referenced in his movies. And that didn't really happen in any of the other movies in the franchise. They were all just kind of standalone movies. So I liked the fact that we had a little bit of a Bond-verse here. And so this really plays in this movie, too, because there were a couple of returning characters.
I was just going to say, do we have returning characters?
Yeah.
And that helps.
It even calls back Casino Royale, which is his first movie, and the Vesper character, which was, I'm blanking on the actress's name now, but, you know, she played basically the protagonist in that
Casino
Royale movie. Eva Green. Her character gets brought back up in this.
You're so
good. Blofeld obviously is brought back up. So that was really cool. And this was just a fun, like, the action, you know, it had great action. It was just a good Bond movie overall. I did find the Rami Malek's character to be a little generic. It was kind of like the generic Bond villain. You know, I just picture him standing there like stroking his bald cat kind of thing. So he was a little bit pedestrian. But and I meant actually meant a I really meant bald cat. I didn't have any ulterior motives there.
Oh, new sounder.
Because I wouldn't have said bald cat. I would have said shaved, you know. But but yeah, I was.
I had to say something. I had to do something because I was dying. I go, did he just say?
But I was like, I almost was as mad as I was at, like, Titans.
Right.
You know, like, at the end of this movie.
Oh,
I was
man.
Just really,
so
really.
So he does something that Bond wouldn't do, or it
I
goes
was
in
really
it.
Upset. Yeah, really upset with the end of this movie. But all that being said, like, they gave Daniel Craig plenty of moments to have his, you know, his send-off as Bond. You know, there was some sentimental moments. There was a lot of great stuff here. So it's definitely fantastic. You know, lots of sights and stuff.
Like
if you're in a good theater, you know, lots of good booms and car crashes and all that stuff. I really didn't like the way they wrapped it up.
Right.
You know, when you see it, you'll either agree or you won't. Maybe you'll find it fitting.
Well, way to be on the fence.
Right.
No, I know.
Like some people may find it satisfying, but I didn't. I just really didn't like that. But yeah, overall, I mean, one of the best of his movies, you know, one of his best outings. It was really good. So definitely, I know you're going to go see it anyways, regardless of what I say. But I mean, definitely go see it. Like it was a really great movie.
If you had told me that it was awful, like it was just a bad outing and it's 2:45, I might have waited.
Right.
Because why would I go and see it in the theater when I could just, I'll just wait and see it at home because I'll buy it. I know I'm going to buy it. I do like that this set. Is this his fourth or fifth?
His fifth. Yeah.
So yeah. We have five movies that are all tied together. Like you said, right. that is a nice set to, I mean, to binge watch or have, some, you know, in the winter or right. something. It's a great set of movies. I love all of them.
Yeah.
I love him as Bond. But yeah, no, that's good news. I'm glad to hear that. I'm really glad to hear that it was that much fun. And I do, that's one of the reasons I haven't been able to see it is because I like to see it in the good theater, you know, right. where it's, and the scheduling for that is like, oh, I could see it now. It's like 11:40 in the morning or by the, right. you know, like, when am I going to get there? Right. So, yeah, just haven't
and
been
yeah, and
to
it,
get
it
there.
Really needs that theater. It needs that big theater awesome. Too, because it's got a lot of good sound in it. Yeah, I can't
It'll
wait
be
to
fun
get
at
it
home.
Yeah, I can't wait to get it home with the 4K Atmos track and, you know, 4K video and yeah. see it there. But
cool.
I'll stop it right at the end. You know, I'll watch it right up until the end and then I'll turn it off.
Oh man, I can't wait to see what it is.
Yeah,
that'll be fun.
All right.
Next.
Yeah, I watched Midnight Mass.
Yeah.
Talked about that
last week.
You
heard me on
my
podcast, huh?
I did, yeah. It's the only reason why I listened, to be honest with you. And I had to wait until it's like you put the milk in the back of the store because I had to wait until the last minute of the show to hear my
That's
name
where
come
the
up.
Recommendations go. It's so funny. You and I talk every day, and it's such a podcasting yep. thing, but you and I talk every day. We talk all the time. I've known you for years. I've known you since yep. we were little kids. You're one of my best friends. And you still listen to my podcast to hear your name.
I know.
It's like, he mentioned me. Yeah, well, I sent you a Christmas card, too.
Yeah. This was seven episodes. Yeah, seven episode season. I mentioned this last week. This is the same guy. Mike Flanagan is the director. He did the Haunting shows on mm-hmm. Netflix. This was not that. This is actually not that scary. Like, it's not really a horror show.
Okay.
There is some elements to it. It's more... I don't even want to give it away. I was kind of mixed on this show, honestly. Again, Netflix, Dolby Vision, Dolby Atmos, it had some great tracks throughout this show. Like, it's really okay. theater worthy. Even besides the one that I sent you, there's some other ones that are really good. There was one last night in the finale where there was a lot of fire, like a lot of burning buildings and stuff.
Yep.
And it was fantastic to hear. But this is another one of those shows where, like, it was, I think, episode 4 or 5 where you kind of where the light turns on and you figure out what's going on, and then I was disappointed because I was like, oh, it's just that, you know what I mean? Like, it's just
right
there was a mystery
much
building
like we felt about Out today,
and you know what, very very much like I felt about Out. Not to spoil anything,
right?
But
I gotcha.
But this show ended up being that. Not what I thought it was going to be, and it was ultimately disappointing because it was building up to this mystery. Things were happening, you know, you're like, well, what's going on? And
right.
even though it wasn't as scary as the other shows, it had a good build, and like
right.
there was a lot of good story, and then it was like, oh, it's just this. And then you have like two more episodes where everybody's just, you know, trying to figure out how to survive, and
yeah.
it ultimately was disappointing, I thought, but the writing was great. Like, there's so many good, like, I read some reviews on it, and somebody called it, like, Midnight Monologue, because there were a lot of, like, just conversations, like, one-on-one, and it was very much like a religious drama, and so there was a lot of good conversation,
man.
A
right.
lot of good things that were coming up, and a lot of tying things from like Revelation, like from the Bible, into this story that was happening, and that part of it I really enjoyed. And I wish I just don't want to spoil it. I wish I could say a little bit more, but when I found out what was actually going on, I was just let down because
yeah.
it's just like, oh, I've seen this a million times, and it's just not that original.
Seen it, read
you know,
it. Let's go.
Yeah. So
that's too bad.
So
I definitely want to check that out. Jen and I wanted to check that out in the theater with Jen. Seems like a fun one for Halloween.
There's definitely some good, like I said, some good theater moments in it. So
cool.
Then I started watching Acapulco on Apple TV.
How was that?
You've seen that. It's really good.
We have it queued up. We're going to check that out.
So they dropped two episodes. They're only 30 minutes each. Yeah. So they dropped two episodes for week one. It's a comedy.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's supposed to be funny.
Is it funny? I don't know the name of the actor that's in it. He's a Mexican actor. But I've seen it. He was also in Coda. And he was in another movie. I can't remember the other movie. But anyway, he's pretty funny. I just don't know his name. But I've seen him. I'd seen him in a couple of other things. But yeah, it's a pretty funny show. It kind of is a almost like a young Indiana Jones thing. Like, you meet him as an adult, and he's telling his story back to his nephew or something. So most of the show isn't actually him. It's a younger version of him, you know, kind of going through his quote-unquote origin story. But it was pretty interesting, and it's kind of funny, but it's definitely not as good as Ted Lasso, don't get me wrong, but it's like Ted Lasso funny. It's like funny, but it's also kind of got like, it's touching, you know, like,
yeah, yeah.
Some, yeah, it's got a little bit of heart to it, and so I think it's going to be good. Overall. And then the only other thing I watched the first episode finally of Only Murders in the Building. Really enjoyed that. Yeah, I thought that was great. I've only seen one. Yeah, I finally got to it. It's just I couldn't get to it. I had too many other things on my queue.
Right.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to getting into some more of that. At this point, it's probably done on Hulu. I know it was dropping weekly, but
I don't think it's done yet.
Or it's definitely got 7 or 8 episodes by now. So
right.
I'll have to get caught up on that, but.
Yeah, I don't think it's done yet. It's Jen and I are a little bit behind on it. I think we're like one or two behind, but we look forward to that every week. We love that show.
It's been good.
It's really good.
And that's it. Again, other than, you know, I watched Ted last, you know, Titans. We watched all the regular shows, but those are the only other things I watched.
All right, cool. All right, I was just adjusting a couple of things here. Adjust your image. But anyways, what did I watch this week? We are obviously Ted Lasso. Finished that one. What'd you think of that finale? Oh man.
Well, yeah. What? Well, they didn't do much to redeem old Nate.
So, I like what they're doing.
I do too, but I didn't see that coming. I didn't go there. Yeah, I didn't know they were going to go there. But like, his little confrontation with Ted was like kind of brutal.
I didn't expect that at all.
I didn't either. I was like, wow, that's pretty brutal.
And
so,
did you feel like Jen and I felt like? Do you feel like he was wrong, or do you see what he did?
I do, actually. After he kind of unloaded on Ted, I was like, you know, he's kind of right.
Is he, like, though?
But Ted did kind of do that, because like, once he brought Roy into the fold, like, he kind of pushed old Nate off to the background. But
did he? Because
I think he did. I think he did.
Yeah, yeah, see, we both felt like he didn't. We felt like he treated him exactly the same, just the part that was missing was that newness of, oh, if you think back to the original episode, and he's like, you're talking to me? Like, nobody, right. And he felt that made him feel special.
Right.
But how do you keep that up? What do you come in every day and give him a big hug? It's like, how do you do that? And I actually ran into this situation at work once with the dealership of one of my, I had employees, and I went into the dealership, and I go, what happened? Because the dealership had kicked out one of my employees, and they brought in a new company. And I was like, well, what happened? He goes, well, this new company came in and took us to lunch, and they schmoozed us, and they did all this. And I said, and they offered a lower price.
Right.
And I was like, all right. I said, well, I go, you know, I'm like, I didn't know you wanted me to come in and take you to lunch. Well, it is kind of nice. I go, well, do you think they're going to come in and take you to lunch every week? What do you know, they got schmoozed, right?
Right.
And I was like, and I knew the guy. I used to be in this dealership, so I was friends with him. But I'm like, I didn't know that that's what you wanted. We don't do that at any other dealerships. We don't just go around and take, but somebody schmoozed you, made you feel special for a week. And that's, I think that's really what happened here. And it's like, you can't just keep, because I don't think he treated anybody else any differently throughout the show. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Even Beard, he doesn't treat Beard special. He didn't.
Well, but they meet, you know, every morning before work and drink coffee. And,
but that was,
you know,
Beard,
I mean,
coming to him. He just walked to work. Beard would show up and meet him halfway or meet him. And the same with Roy. He didn't treat Roy special. He offered Roy a job. It ended at that. Roy showed up. Yeah. And it was like, I don't think, and he kept going with, I mean, they led you down the road of Nate saying, like, I want to be in charge. I want to be this. I'm hoping they bury him because he's going to find out what it's like when you're on top. And,
well, yeah,
you know, and I see, I'm trying to think of how
he'll still
he
play out like next season. Right. They'll redeem it somehow. I mean, they always do.
Right.
But it went a little further than I thought it was going to go.
Yeah, I thought so, too. I thought,
yeah,
they were going
to
make,
like,
up.
To be honest with you, I'd have to go back and rewatch the whole season again. But I did feel like going through it that I could see, like, he put, you know, once Roy came in, it was kind of all about Roy. You know, like, oh, we got the big Roy back. You know what I mean? You know, we,
yeah,
got,
but what
we got
ideas,
Roy to come in and help us and all that other stuff. And
but what ideas did they institute that were Roy's ideas that they didn't? I mean, anything Nate said, they went with. Even to the point that, like, that's the thing is, I think Nate's just completely wrong, and that's how they're writing it. They're writing it that, because even Nate was like, you're just going to run this play until it fails, and then you're going to blame me. Right. But then the play worked. Right. You know, and it's like, what do you do? You know, he was just, and then he was mad that it worked, and he stormed off.
Right.
I'm like, oh. Which I think is great for a show like that, for Ted Lasso to be doing that. It's, I think,
oh,
it's,
yeah,
fantastic.
I thought it was great too. I just, it went further than I thought it was going to go.
Right.
Like, I honestly thought that conversation in the locker room was going to resolve everything and that was going to be it, you know.
Right.
I didn't think Nate was going to take it in that direction.
Yeah.
You know. So, but, you know, again, that's how you write a character, and you create drama and you create conflict, you know. So.
Yeah. Foundation.
Yep.
Absolutely fantastic. I'm loving that show. And I texted you, I'm listening to the podcast. Did you get a chance to listen to it at all? Have you?
No.
No?
No, I haven't.
All right. If you get a chance, I'd say make it. They're not that long. They're 40 minutes. I think a couple. Yeah. There's only three of them out right now. Maybe it's, yeah, it's three because there's four episodes. The first one's about episodes one and two. That one's fantastic. And it gets into the story on David Goyer and why he is making this show, and it has a lot to do with his father and his relationship with his father and the books. Great. So once you listen to that, it's like, how after the fact, how you just aren't a fan of the show, I don't know, because I was just like blown away by all that. But then every episode of the podcast, they get into more and more about the show, and that's why I told you, I'm like, it's eight episodes. And the part that you're not going to like is when they pitch this to Apple and they're like, well, we need to see more here. And they keep referring to Apple as a person, like Apple said this and Apple said this.
Right.
And they're like, so we're telling Apple that we're going to tell you about that by season eight. And they're like, right. Oh, okay. And they also said, yeah, buckle up because we're doing time jumps all the time.
Oh, and yeah. I don't dig that.
Exactly. But they said there's two characters in this show. And this is in what I think the third podcast. They said there's two characters in this show that aren't actors. And one is the vault.
Yeah, the vault.
The vault and time. Time plays its own character. And what they mean by that, like, this takes place over 1,000 years. This show, and the books never actually finished the 1,000 years, so they're trying to do, and this is, they know this isn't dead on to the book, they know, you know, and they're talking about that, but just the idea of the show and everything that's going, I absolutely love it. I tried to explain it to Jen, and because it's all about math and it's all about, like, the more variables you add, the more you can figure out. And that's how they can tell that, like, they could tell the future by past history, if you pay attention to history. And he's doing the math
right
to be able to tell the future. And I was trying to explain it to Jen in like a simple way. And I put a dot on a piece of paper and I go, this is a person walking. I go, and then I put another dot. I put the one dot in the middle of the page. I go, which way is this person walking? And she goes, I don't know. I go, right. But if I put another dot here, and she goes, I don't know which way they're walking. And I was like, oh, no, wait a minute. This is the same person, but now you know he's headed in this direction. Which way is he going, left or right? And I'm like, see, the more information you get, the more variables. And she was still, she goes, I'm going to hate this show. I mean, yeah. I had like six dots on the page, and I go, see how you can predict the future here, because you know which direction this person's heading in. That's what this show is all about in a more simplified way. And she goes, I don't understand this way.
Right.
And I was like, oh, okay. I love it. Absolutely love it.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I've liked it so far, so we'll see. But I don't dig that. You know,
Jumps.
The time. Yeah. I really don't. But
every episode.
I'm not ready to give up on it or anything. But
right.
May get to be too much for me. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. So, the other one this week that I did a little bit more, I finished up my work on, is Psycho in 4K.
Oh, okay.
And that's, as you heard this morning in the podcast, that's what my podcast this week's going to be about in home theater, and the 4K version, and it has a DTS:X track.
Oh, yeah.
For Psycho. And yeah. It actually plays well. It does.
Yeah.
But in 4K.
For a movie that's 60 years old.
Yeah. Yeah, it's years old? Yeah, 61,
right?
It came out in 1960, so yeah, it's 61 years old this year, and it's beautiful, beautiful, absolutely. Yeah. I thought I was gonna like it because, of course, it's a great movie to begin with, but then just going over it in the black and white and the 4K and everything, I can't wait. It was so good. Also watching Lost Symbol, enjoying that. And what else did we do? We didn't actually watch Why the Last Man this week. I can't remember why.
No.
Yeah, we didn't catch up on that. And Euphoria was still going through, enjoying that. What'd you think of, we don't have to do spoilers right now. We can do no Kryptonite this week. We can, what'd you think of the end of What If?
No, I thought it was good. Yeah. Yeah. I thought it was good. I'm trying to remember what happened.
Watcher.
Yeah. The Watcher.
The Watcher.
Yeah, it was great, actually.
I meant to look this up. And I've been thinking this all the way through the season, too, about What If and The Watcher.
Uh-huh.
Didn't Stan Lee, wasn't that his character in one of the MCU movies? Wasn't he supposed to be The Watcher? I thought we read that somewhere.
I think so. I don't.
Was it one of the Guardians movies? I think he was the Watcher.
Yeah.
That was his cameo. He was the Watcher,
right.
And that was what was supposed to be fantastic about it, is that he was watching over. They actually put him into the MCU and made him like watching over the entire MCU. Right.
I remember hearing about that. I don't know if that was a thing or if it was just something people tried to will into existence.
If that was a thing, and it wasn't, I'm remembering it the same way as you. I'm like, I heard it. I'm like, is that true or not? If he was still alive, do you think they would have made him the Watcher? In What If?
Maybe, yeah.
That would have been pretty cool.
I mean, it's just, I was just saying, you know, he's 90, so I don't know. But, I mean, that's just voice work, so.
Right.
Could have.
And he used to do tons of voice work. I mean, Spider-Man and his amazing friends.
Right.
But yeah, I thought I kept thinking that all the way through the season of it, and I was like, I just kept forgetting to ask you about it. But yeah, I think it's gonna play out. I think all of that, like, I thought the way they wrapped it up, like we said after the first episode, that is this gonna play out somehow? And that last episode, they all kind of, all the episodes came together.
Yeah.
Because they used characters.
Oh, yeah, they did. They used everybody.
Yeah. And I thought that was pretty cool. Made the season fun.
It did. Yeah. No, it was good. It was a good ending.
It All right. Let's see. Anything? We didn't catch up on any Lucifer either this week.
Oh, no.
Did you check out Star Wars Terrifying Tales yet?
No. No, I haven't got to it.
Okay. All right. That was it.
Okay.
That was it. Can't think of anything else because getting close on time here, buddy.
I know.
So, all right. That'll do it for this week. No okay. Kryptonite. Because maybe next week we'll do Kryptonite on Bond.
Okay.
We'll do a Kryptonite on Bond because we don't have any other shows. Well, Titans should be. We could
we
talk
still
Titans.
Have Titans. We could talk Titans.
Yeah, we'll wait till next week on that.
Yeah, they're dropping. This season's really dropping my opinion of that show, though. So
this we'll see. The
last few episodes have really not been great. So, but yeah, we'll save it for next week.
Yeah. All right, we'll save that for next week. Hopefully, I can. Hopefully, we don't have to speed through that episode, that show. But all right, that'll do it for this week. I'm lost. All right, hey, to be part of Mailbag, to be part of the Bright Side Chat, you can email us at thebrightsidechat@gmail.com, or you can tweet at us at @brightside_chat, or just to be part of John's life, you can tweet at him at Arkham Comics with an X. He will get back to you in a timely 2-week manner.
That's right. Don't put pressure on me, man.
Yeah, don't put pressure on him. I'm done, John. Okay. Have a great week, everybody. Hey,
check out
all the great podcasts on Nerdy Legion. That too. Great. And check us out on YouTube. Blah, blah, blah. I don't know why I'm toast all of a sudden. I
don't know.
I think it's because we don't have a Kryptonite, John. I'm a little upset about that.
I'm a little verklempt.
All right. That'll do it for us. We are out of here. Have a great week, everybody.
Take care.
Hey, Fred. You want to lock the door anyways?
Sure.